John Harry Sharan, I am enjoying immensely learning from you about time, how to work with time, about what time really is, a perception on our part for the most part. And I'm wondering, can you share with us some more practical ideas about how we can work with time?
I think it's a very, yes, I'd love to do that. I am what you call Mr. Practicality and Mr. Simplicity. I want to make it simple. I want to make it practical. And I want to show you how you can use this to do things. Now, if you look at our existence from as far back as you can remember, you will see there are a whole bunch of experiences. We can divide them, say, every year, this, this, and that were the most important experiences. And we could do that if you're 20 years old. Well, you've got 20 years of experiences. If you're 70 years or 90 years old, you've got 90 years of experiences. Some of them were extremely pleasant. Some of them were horrible, though you wished you never had. And yet, in my view, all experiences are necessary to get us to where we are today. But we are not trapped by our experiences or the memories of our experiences. Do you know the word they call review, which means you view it again, just like redo means doing it again? One of the problems with things is that we do not review them. Let me show you how to review a day, to make the day after that a little better. Let's say you're working on some problems and you're dealing with them and they're so extremely frustrating, as most challenges and most problems could be at times. And now it's time to go to bed and you're thinking, what did I do today? I didn't really, you know, do the right things. Maybe if I had a chance to do it again, I would have done A, B, and C instead of X, Y, and Z. Instead of beating yourself up, remembering now that this is a timeline we're dealing with, and that there is no real separation between the past and the future except this point in the middle that we call the present. Think about it. Everything before now, even our conversation of 10 minutes ago, so to say, everything before now are in the past. Everything from now on, onward, are in the future. And here we are at the point we call the present, where the past and the future flip-flop all the time. They're balanced against the now. So you can use what we call the point of power, which is only in the now. Not in the past, not in the future. We can only have an effect on the future from the present. We can only review the past from the present. The funny thing is, the past and the future are connected through me at the present time. So if I review the activities of the day and I said, you know, I should have probably done it this way, let me just run that through my mind. Oh yeah, that would have been a better way. What we're doing, we're creating an effect in the future where the next day will be a little better. Now, I don't know if anybody understood what I just said, but I hope so, because what I'm saying is our point of power is in the present moment, because from this moment we can look back at where we've been and we can look forward and imagine where we're going. And if we do it with a sort of belief and positivity, the future is going to be a lot better. And if we encounter situations in the past that were not pleasant, all we do is we review them in our minds and we create a situation that we would have liked it to be like. And by doing that, in some part of our reality picture, if we're subscribing to the many-worlded theory or the split universe or alternate realities, there is a version of us, let's say John 182, that's experienced exactly that. And it's like a message is sent from that reality to me in the present that will affect reality in the future. Does that make, that seems way out, doesn't it, Steve?
It does, but I'm with you and I appreciate what you're saying. So, you know, the way I can relate to this as a hypnotherapist, I have recordings online that I sell for hypnosis. And one of them that I have is overcoming alcohol abuse. And I noticed that that one sells really well at the end of a weekend. A lot of people will download it. And I know what's going through their minds right then. They think, well, I overdid on the weekend. I'm not going to do that again. And I think it's important for those people and anyone else who's found themselves in that situation where they're standing in the moment of possible turnaround, where they're going to turn everything around in their lives, but they're thinking, can I do it? And they're so caught up in the past, and they don't realize that there are alternate ways that they can be. There's a way that they can be that may very well exist in another dimension that's not living a life like that. It's living a very empowered life. And I think that what you're saying really puts them in touch with those two things. First of all, there's another way to do it. That's very well possibly happening right now at this quote-unquote time. Secondly, the past doesn't dictate the future, and you can review it and learn from it and create a new future, and you can decide that in the very moment in which you stand.
That is the way I want to. You put it so much more eloquently than I did. But this is exactly what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about, what was the guy in New York who said, when you come to a fork in the road, take it. It's like, I always like that one, by the way. It's like, you come to this fork in the road, you got a choice, you make a choice. You choose, should I go to the left or should I go to the right? The strange thing in quantum physics is this. The answer is yes. You go to the left, but there is a version of you that goes to the right. Let's say going to the right takes you into the briar patch or into a ditch. Then you don't have to stay there. You could review it, be in touch with the other version of you. Now, there are people who, when I've explained it this way, they say, well, John, I really don't want many versions of me. One is enough. Well, that's all you got anyway. If you were to travel a straight line, okay, a sequential moment after moment timeline, it's only you, but all these other versions of you perhaps exist. Now think of this. Let's say you're an accountant and you just are just so totally tired of trying to work out this formula here for something you were doing for the corporation and you couldn't get it. And you're thinking, you know, there are people I know who know this, some master accountants. And if they were here, if some of those people were here, they'd tell me exactly what to do and it'd be wonderful. And in the middle of being so tired, your head falls on the desk, not on the keyboard, on the desk, and you fall asleep for a few minutes and you leave that opening for another version of you or someone else who knows, with your permission, of course, although you don't even know you're doing these things, to give you some information. And that information, since you are sleeping for a short while, comes to you and all of a sudden you get up and there's the answer to your question. Now, many people have had this happen. They get it in dreams. They get it in certain intuitions. For example, again, going back to science and chemistry, one of our most important things is what we call the periodic chart of the elements, which starts with hydrogen and it goes right through all of them to the bottom and touches all the elements we know of. And that came about after a lot of struggle by Mendeleev, a fellow in Europe who all of a sudden had this kind of sleep-wake situation where he saw it as if someone were pointing it out to him. And in that in-between state, there was a table, the periodic chart of the elements. This happens in very practical ways, which are tied in also into something that we might not have a chance to speak about, but I want to mention it here just in case. It's called serendipity, something that I think should be another one of those powers we have. You go out looking for something, and strangely enough, you don't find that thing, but on the way of looking for it, you come up with something that's a lot better than what you were looking for. And this has happened so many times. For example, the vulcanization of rubber through an accident, it was discovered. Teflon, DuPont, discovered that way. So many other things. And so serendipity is a part of this. What you might be noticing, Steve, and friends who are listening, is that everything is connected to everything, and there can't be two everything.
Excellent point, John. And I want to change gears a little bit here because this is of a personal interest to me, this concept that I believe that you can touch on with the knowledge that you have, which is changing the future. I believe that at any moment we have the ability to make decisions. And even if we think something's quote unquote written in stone, we can make decisions in any moment that will put us on a different path and allow us to access different energy and meet different people and so forth and so on. So I'd like to hear your take on that. I'd like to hear you talk about changing the future. How can we use what you're saying to change our future?
See, since the future flip-flops between the, across this line we call the present, in many cases, and there are different ways of looking at it, it's not set yet. Or another view would be, there are so many different futures, all I have to do is choose. Now, let's take an example which is interesting to some people. Let's talk about a job. There are two job offers, and the person is sitting down and saying, I am not sure which one I should take. They're both good. They're in different cities and so forth. They pay about the same, and they both look exciting. I don't know which one I should choose. Well, changing the future is actually something that occurs by choosing in the present. Again, it's not a mindless universe. The universe might be the greatest mind of all yet. Maybe it's the mind of God. And so we sit. The way to change that future is to sit back, close your eyes, not while you're driving, please. Close your eyes. Sit quietly and imagine. Use the imagination. Again, the imagination is called the scissors of the mind. And imagine you took job A. And when you're doing this, feel your body, yourself, breathe deeply, and just feel how you'd feel in your gut. And say, if I choose job A, what would it be like? The pay is good. I have to go to California, and I like it out there. I've lived there before, so let's see. And you follow that. You will come to a point where you'll feel either totally comfortable, or you will feel kind of something just isn't right. Everything seems okay on paper, but something isn't right. And then you say, okay, let's change to the other one. And you do the same thing with a job in New York, maybe. And then you find you start getting really excited. What you have done there is change your future, because all logic told you should take the job in California. But a little voice within you created an excitement about taking the job in New York. You could sit down afterwards and put it all on paper and say, the good things about job A, this, the bad things, this, on one column, the other column. You do the same for job B. And then if you look totally logical at both of them, you might tend to want to choose based on logic alone and not have the feeling tones in there. So by sitting in the present, getting quiet, you make a choice, or you choose and follow that. And 99 times out of 100, from what I understand and have experienced, that is how you change the future. People might say that has nothing to do with the future or past. Yes, it does. Because if you had taken the other path, your future would have been totally different. And even if you took the other path and you were going to take job A instead of B, which you felt, instead of logic, which you felt that you should take, something would occur if you trust the process. That is the problem in changing the future, revising and reviewing the past to make your life very successful. Because many times we say to ourselves, this is all imagination. This is nothing. This is, where am I coming up with these things from? That alone, that question should tell you you're delving into unknown territory that you have looked at before, and you're totally familiar with it, except that in this earth life and this consciousness, you're only tuned in to what you have learned through your experiences and maybe what you're remembering through your wider experiences. So in that respect, you change what's going to happen. You can change who you're going to marry if you want to marry, your job, your future, your finances, your everything, because it all has to do with your belief patterns and the process. Do you trust the process? Do you believe these things are possible? Because if you don't believe they're possible, forget it. Start from the beginning.
That's very well put, John. And I thought I heard you allude there a little bit to something which sounded like maybe we've done this before. Maybe we've lived through this before. Did I hear that in there?
Well, earlier on, I said, look, if this is a universe of infinite possibilities and infinite things, quote unquote, happening all at the same time, and there is no past and there is no future, then everything exists right now, and everything I will say one day already exists. All I've got to do is tap into it. just like all those radio stations exist right now in my radio, but I'm only tuned into one. So why not practice having access to this other data? Strange as it seems, all it takes is practice. First of all, I mentioned earlier, you got to believe this, because if you don't, you have blocked it. You will not come through. For example, look at your radio and say, huh, here's the dial. I know all these other stations exist, and I've been listening to this one with classical music, and oh, gee, I love it, but I want to listen to some country music. But I don't believe that if I turn this dial, I'll find a country music station. Guess what? You will never find it. But does that mean it doesn't exist? It exists simultaneously, instantly with all the others. It's you, it's we. We don't even realize the power we've got. The greatest power being making choices and taking action, believing in who we are and saying, if we are not brave enough to say, absolutely, we can do this, let's say maybe we can do it. Yeah, it is possible. Change from maybe or absolutely no to it's possible, and in a world of infinite possibilities, it's really possible that I could do this. Now, you can say that from now until next year, and nothing might happen unless you take some action. So notice we're coming back to ordinary things like believing, trusting the process, taking action.
That's good. That's very good, John. I really appreciate your way of explaining this. And I have to continue to, at this point, I guess almost force myself to wrap my mind around it, because I keep getting caught up in this concept of linear time, past, present, future, and so forth. Whereas what you're saying is that it's possible that all of these are occurring at the same time. Not only that, but alternate realities are occurring at the same time. So when we have a memory about something that we think might have happened or something seems familiar, it's not necessarily that it already happened, but that it could be happening right then in an alternate reality. Do I have that right?
I think that's absolutely correct. In fact, that's how I'd like for us to all look at it. That it's not we're remembering a past life. We're remembering or recalling alternate realities and lives that are occurring right now. And all we have to do is to reach out in our minds. The study of consciousness is exactly the tool we need to study consciousness. The mind is a tool we use to study the mind, and to reach out to that other reality and touch that and pick up the data that's there. The data will flow to us if we create the space. Again, when I talk about space, just remember, I don't mean space like we have it today. To create, let's say, the climate for that data to flow to us. Here's a question. Where do ideas come from? I tell people half laughingly, jokingly, from the idea fairy, from the shower fairy, from the dream fairy. But you know what? The thing about ideas is they are electromagnetic in nature. They tend to attract other ideas after their kind. Why do you think the power of the mastermind is a very powerful thing to deal with? Because when people with like-minded thoughts get together, they create thoughts that are greater than the thoughts of any one of those people. In fact, according to my old friend Foster Hibbert, who was a student and friend and associate of the late Dr. Napoleon Hill, that when two people are gathered together, the energy does not double, it cubes itself. That means two people have the force or the power of 2 × 2 × 2, which is like 8. And then when three people get together, cubing the 3 becomes like 3 × 3 × 3, which is 27. Imagine if 5 like-minded people got together to solve a problem. They would have created an opening in this, let's say, vortex, okay? That would cause all these ideas. And guess what? To every idea, to every challenge, to every problem, there is attached to it something called a solution, okay? We tend to look at the problem and forget the solution. And we're looking around and saying, now, where is the solution? And it's right there with the problem. And the word for problem is actually opportunity. So whenever we look at a problem and say, oh my goodness, this is so horrible. And here's the question that in my youth I may have asked a lot. Now I never, you'll never hear me ask this. Why did this have to happen to me? You know why? Because nobody's going to tell me. And it didn't didn't have to happen to me. It was like an agreement where these conditions came to me as a gift. Again, Richard Bach says there's never a problem without a gift for you in its hands. What you do with it is up to you, however. And I think that's true. So we can use this time-space anomaly. We can use this thinking process. It's just changing the way we think. And it's just practicing how to do it. Because if we practice long enough, it becomes like, you know, second nature. It's no different. No different at all. If, let's say I'm living here where I am right now. And I decide to move a mile away. Okay? Let's say I have lived here for 20 years. And I'm going to move to this new house 1 mile away. I will guarantee you something that will happen. In the first week or two or three, when I'm coming home from someplace, I'll find myself driving to the old house. That's what's called a habit. But if I'm aware that that's what I'm doing, just before turning into where the old house is, I'll keep going until I get to the new one. But then 2 days later, automatically I'll tend to go to the old one again. Again, that's what a habit is. But if I keep focusing and repeating, remember, repetition, repetition, repetition. The subconscious deals very well with two things. One is repetition, and number two, a strongly felt emotion, okay? The feelings. And with great feelings and repetition, after about a week or so, I won't ever think of getting back to the old house. See what I'm trying to say here? You just gotta practice.
I like that, John. I like that a lot. Now, getting back to some more of the practical applications, which you've been very generous with, and I appreciate that, but I want to get even more of them. We talked about slowing time down a little bit, taking time out, taking a step back, realizing that you're caught up in the moment, and kind of taking yourself out of that. What about the idea? Let's talk a little more about speeding up time. You know, sometimes it seems like, especially for kids, you know, if a birthday party's next week, that may as well be a year from then because it seems like such a long time. And even as adults, I know going through my higher education years, it seemed like 10 years instead of 2 or 3 years at a time. It seemed like chunks of decades when working on my advanced degrees. And I think we all get caught up in that and we get this anxiety, this anticipatory anxiety where we're wanting something to happen so badly and it's not happening. And you can think about it in terms of singles seeking someone to be with, in terms of people not having a job and wanting a job, in terms of people going through education or not being where they want to be in whatever capacity and thinking it's taking a long time to be there. So if you would, I'd like you to talk a little bit about that, about the idea of perhaps speeding up time in our minds or how we can deal with that more effectively when we think it's taking forever to get.
Very, very nice. I like that because I'll tell you an give you an example to show you what I mean. In my early days, which was like not too long ago, I used to fly from one place to the other. And sometimes, you know, you get stuck at the airport. Well, this one was a little bit uncomfortable. I was flying from East Africa via West Africa over to London and then back to New York. And it just happened that the flight in Africa ended up in West Africa, and the entire crew decided they had flown too much for one day, and they left the plane to go take their 8 hours, or 10, or whatever it is they took in those days. So here we are, all the passengers. It's night, and it's dark outside because many of these airports were small and not busy. And there was nothing at the airport, so we all got out, and we went there. There was this one little place where you could get a bite. And I'm thinking, my goodness, I'm already delayed. It's going to be 8 to 10 or 12 hours before we leave again. How is this going to work? What am I going to do? The city, the town, the little town is too far away for any of us to go. And if we went there, what would happen if we missed the plane? If we missed the flight, these were like 3 times a week flights. And I kept thinking, I have to spend an entire night sitting at an airport in a little country far, far away from home. And I thought, okay, let me remember what I learned about doing this. And so I sat down and I started to breathe. The first thing I think is to breathe deeply and slowly. And then close your eyes and just think to yourself, remember what I said about the divine don't give a damn attitude? It's like I'm speeding up time but slowing down my metabolism. And as I did that, I looked at my watch, and it's like 4 hours had gone. And I kept doing it. It wasn't unpleasant. Actually, it was very relaxing. And in a short while, it was like there's this announcement. This flight will now leave in an hour. All those who were in it, please get ready to board. See what happened to the outside observer. It was like nothing happened except an entire night went. But to me, it was like, that was fast. It was like an hour or two. See what I mean by it? It's a compression of time in your mind. It's by not minding. The trick to it is not minding what seems to be, because things are not always as they appear to be. As we get older and wiser, we find that out. It's never what it appears to be. It's sometimes a lot more glorious. Now, we can choose to believe it could be a lot worse. And yes, it could. But since we're creatures and energies with free choice, we are free to choose the positive things, the good things. And we are free to think that this plane, although it might appear according to the watches and clocks to take 12 hours to leave this airport, in my mind, it will appear to be just 2 hours. And that's what we got to do. You want to manipulate time? You do it from your mind, because your mind seems, time seems to be a dimension of our mind, an extension of it, one of the tools. And later on, I think I will not be around, maybe a couple of centuries from now, around here, talking to you, Steve, about these things, might be way off someplace else in a century or two, we will probably start discovering that, you know, that thing we call time was really nothing. It is one of our means of manipulating matter, manipulating events, forming things the way, like a potter and the clay, just molding time, molding that clay to fit exactly what we want, creating our own mini universes if we want, because we are many creators. The various holy books talked about we were made in the image of the Creator. And so, in a way, we have a lot of the abilities to do that. Our problem is we don't really believe that, and we don't really trust it. See, we go right back to believe, and we go right back to trust. And maybe as we end the series, we should talk a little about those.
I'd love to do that, John. I'd love to delve more deeply into that. And thank you for the wisdom that you've shared so far.
It is my pleasure. I always enjoy this.